broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico. Phil Hendry.
Phil Hendry Show, where truth is our bitch every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. Margaret Gray, Bud Dickman, Robert Leonard with me. We attempted to have Don Berman explain himself. He was continually interrupted by you, Ms. Gray, and I understand. I'm the host of the show. I control the traffic here. I called up after I explained that he was going to give Lindsay Lohan the $16,000 if she danced for him and only him in his home, and he threatened a lawsuit. But that's exactly what he told you, isn't it?
Well, Phil, I don't know. I
don't start in with the I don't know. That's exactly what he told you.
Yes, he did say that he wanted Lindsay Lohan to dance for him privately. I don't know that that was going to be a condition of the $16,000.
Well, the way I heard it was, if she feels like saying thank you, and from what I gathered from Don, it wasn't going to be an option. She was either going to say thank you, or he said he was putting her to work, quote unquote. And only you know what that is, but you had the conversation.
What Don said to me was that Lindsay Lohan would say thank you. That's what he said. He didn't say that he had any fear. He said she'll say thank you. And the way I wanted to say thank you, and if she doesn't say thank you, then he knows he has people where he could put her to work.
He has people where he could put her to work.
And that's all he said. There's a house of comfort. I prefer the term house of comfort.
So in other words, he's going to white slave her.
Well, what do you mean white slave?
In other words, she was going to become some indentured prostitute?
Phil, Don has a right to a return on his investment. I don't understand.
Well, you are some kind of a woman, aren't you? You're some kind of a female, some kind of a woman's rights advocate to sit still and report something like that to me as if it's just a matter-of-fact piece of news.
I don't know why you're getting upset. I mean, the three of you are looking at me like I'm the one that...
Ms. Gray, are you trying to say that Don Berman's going to put her in a whorehouse?
I didn't use the term whorehouse at all. I said if Lindsay Lohan refused or didn't refuse, if she chose not to say thank you for the $16,000, that there was a, quote, comfort house where Don would like to see her.
Uh-huh. Like to see her what?
Learn some manners. I don't know.
Oh, boy. They ought to have him arrested.
For what?
For even making a threat like that.
Phil, it's not a threat. You have to understand, I'm speaking as a woman now, and there's not a woman out there that would disagree with me. If Lindsay Lohan showed herself not to be grateful for the $16,000 that Channel 19 and Don Berman were putting up so that she could get her stuff out of storage... Don Berman has a reasonable expectation that she will dance for him in some way. Now,
well, you know, I don't even get that. Where does he get off with the reasonable expectation that she's going to dance for him?
Or some private performance.
Or some private performance. Does that include sex?
I'm not going to speak to you or to these two like you're idiots. You know what I'm talking about.
Well, Margaret, I think you're hiding... information.
I'm not hiding any information. The problem is you two are so stupid, or you three, I forget Bud's there, you two, and also you, Bud, are so stupid you can't read between the lines.
I can read between the lines and nothing between the lines.
Oh my God, I don't mean literally.
It's a figure of speech. All right, fine, we'll move on, but I think, just so I have this clear.
Boy, you really want to kick this around, don't you? Does it give you a thrill? Huh, Phil? Do you get your rocks off? Well, I don't know why you keep wanting to...
So that I have this clear, if Lindsay Lohan was not going to say thank you, he was going to press her into service with a, quote, comfort house. Where?
I don't think he said.
Where?
In Los Angeles somewhere.
A whorehouse.
I refuse to use... Phil, I have entertained in houses of comfort. They are classy.
You've entertained.
Don't give me a look. How dare... What is he doing?
Well, I'm talking about entertain. What'd you do with your legs in the air?
Hold on for a minute.
Hey, watch it, watch it.
Ah! Ah! Ah, my left one.
Excuse me.
Oh, man, that's going to hurt well into next week.
Got the left one?
Yeah. I still got one good one, though.
Really? You want to press your luck on that?
No.
Now, Phil, I was a singer, a singer. And yes, I used to sing in a, if you want to call it a whorehouse, I refuse to.
So you sang with a piano player?
Yes, I sang for the gentlemen visitors. And it was very classy, and it was extremely comfortable. And we had a wonderful little show that we put on. The men came in. They didn't all come in for sex. They came in to have a drink, to relax, to talk. I talked to a great many of them. You will not get their names out of me. Many of them very prominent in Los Angeles city politics. Because where were... Well, I...
Where was it located?
I'm not going to say.
All right, well, I bet you were located somewhere near downtown where City Hall is.
And why do you say that?
Because you got to know guys in L.A. city politics.
Like they can't drive to Hollywood.
Okay. Yeah, I'm just...
And we had a very pleasant time, and I would sing whatever the standard of the day was. I remember, you know, the big hit at that time was... It's 5 o'clock in the evening. The regular crowd, you know that one.
That's one by Elton John.
No, it isn't. Billy Joel, you idiot.
Don't call him an idiot.
Well, yes. Speaking of Elton John, we used to do. I love to do. Oh, the Crocodile Rock, do 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 do, and the Crocodile Rock, do. You know that song, Phil?
I know that song. I don't know. I forget.
And then the other one that everybody loved, we used to do. Saturday night's all right for fighting. Woo! And the do-do-do-do-do. Saturday night. You know that song?
Yes, I do. I know that one, yeah.
And we had a Casio keyboard, because Merle could play either the...
Merle?
Yeah, Merle Jones was my keyboard player at the time. I don't know if Frank knew him. And so he played the keyboard, and he had a Casio. And so he got some great sounds. I got the B3 Hammond sound. So when we did that... Do-do-do, do-do-do. You know how the song, Saturday Night's All Right for Fighting?
What song is she talking about?
This is before your guys' time. Saturday Night's All Right for Fighting. That was his Elton John song.
Yes, so we did that, and he got that wonderful sound. Do-do-do, do-do-do. And anyway, I remember, I don't want to say who, but a prominent fixture at City Hall came running downstairs in his underwear.
In his what?
You heard me, Phil.
Don't whisper it, Margaret.
In his underwear, and he wanted to know who died or something. And I said, we're singing Saturday Night's All Right for Fighting. And he went, oh, thank God. And he turned around, and right as he turned to go up the stairs, a friend of mine, who I won't mention, she was the proprietress. She reached up and pulled his boxers all the way down to his ankles. So he was bare-ass naked. Oh, we laughed. God, we laughed.
A prominent city politician.
You know why you have that look on your face? Because you weren't there and you wish you were.
No. I'm serious when I say I'm serious when I tell you. It bothers me that a city politician is spending his off hours at a patently illegal operation like that. It really bothers me. It really does.
It really does.
What years are we talking about?
It was in the 70s.
Back in the 70s?
Yes.
All right.
But you see, Phil, you've got that nose in the air, high, you think you're all this and a bag of you-know-what.
Dog do?
Why would I... Dog do? Would you hire some people that got out of the womb undamaged?
I'll try.
Well, you laughing about Mr. Henry? That was cruel.
It was a funny line. Hire some people that got out of the womb undamaged.
It's true I was pulled out with forceps. What difference would that make?
A lot of different, man. If you get pulled out with forceps, it dents the head.
No.
Will you guys shut up? All right. Coming up next, I deserved a kicking. Hugh Grant backs Jon Stewart for branding him a pain in the ass. How about that? That's the best way to handle it, Mr. Grant. If they're hating your guts, you got to go with it, baby. Go with it and apologize. And that's, you know, that's what, what's his name did? Who's the guy?
Christian Bale.
Christian Bale. Christian Bale came out smelling like a rose, man, after that whole episode on the set. We'll be right back with that and more on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We were just looking through some of the other stars without makeup picture. I got to say, you know, it's not right of me, but I was looking at this.
Well, you're saying it's not right of you, Phil. It's obviously a really interesting feature.
Yeah, but Mr. Henry's saying it's not fair to show a woman in the way the face looks.
Yeah. If you show a woman the way her face looks without makeup, you deserve to have your... like what Margaret did to you, man. You deserve to have the other one punched in.
All right. Well, if that's what you'd like.
You know what? These guys are defending women, and I believe that they're taking an honorable stance here, and I don't know what it is about you. I don't know what it is about women, to be honest with you.
What's that supposed to mean?
I mean, women are extremely... and I get it. I mean, women are competitive and sometimes extremely cruel with each other, and I understand it, because if you are battling for the one rung on a ladder that otherwise has eight rungs... I saw this in radio. I saw this coming up in radio in the 70s and the 80s, when the only time slot that they had that they would put a woman on was middays. And when there's only one time, just in my business, in the radio business, if there's only one time slot, the 10 to 2 slot, where they would hire a woman, you know, chicks are going to... And I heard at least one female radio personality say, I'm the chick on this station.
Meaning she was the... There was only going to be one?
There was only one. There was only one. So that when she got wind of somebody who had been seen in the office or something, I guess somebody had come in for an interview, she said, hey, I don't know what she's doing here because I'm the chick on this station. You know, meaning I'm the official mascot chick. I got to tell you, it must have been brutal. It must have been brutal. It must have just... And I can't even... What would I do if I was... the shoe was on the other foot, you know?
Well, what would you do? That's a very good point.
I'd keep on pressing... Because I have very high level of confidence in myself as an entertainer, as an on-air personality. I would keep on pushing until I busted through, because I got no doubt... I would have no doubt that I belong on that radio station.
If all the other talent were females and you were going to be the one male talent... And every time you walk down the hall, someone's putting their hand up your you-know-what.
Well, I guess I'd have to live with it.
You gotta be kidding. Do you know how degrading that is?
Margaret, you're talking to a man here, okay? It's a completely different thing.
Well, still, I mean, are you saying that you would smile as every woman in the place tried to put her hand right in...
I'm not smiling. It would probably, after a while, I'd say, hey, ladies, I know, you know, I'll be back in a few minutes. Ha, ha, ha.
Oh, look at you guys laughing.
Yeah, I'd probably say, there's enough for all of you, and then pull it out.
All right, easy.
I don't know. I really don't know. I'm going to turn my ring around because I feel it's on its way.
What does that mean?
I'm turning my ring around.
She doesn't want to leave the impression of a diamond ring in my face.
There you go. Good one.
There will be no punches thrown.
Phil.
There's no punches thrown. All right, on the line with us here is Frank Gray. Frank is Margaret's better half, and so we've heard enough from you, Margaret, for the time being. Frank Gray is an entertainment lawyer, a longtime producer of television and movies in Los Angeles, and Frank joins us on our newsmaker line tonight. Frank, how are you doing, sir?
Hey, young man, I'm better than Custer. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Frank, I wanted to ask you about Hugh Grant, the story here in the Mail, the Daily Mail, which is, of course, the English Daily. What can you tell us?
Well, look, you know, Hugh Grant is hardly known for her, you know, self-effacing nature. She has admitted that she was a pain in the ass during this appearance on the Daily Show, you know, with Jon Stewart. Now, I don't know either one of these gentlemen all that well. I'm getting my information. I had lunch with Terry Babcock and her wife, and both of them are management people. Do you know that?
No, I don't know them.
Well, they both manage a number of stars, but she told me, and her wife told me, Janice, that Grant acted like an absolute pig, like just a born-again, almost a born-again pig. At least that's what I thought she said, and her husband said, no, not a born-again pig, a Borneo pig. And I thanked him, and I said, you know, you're a very beautiful woman, and you, instead of her, you should be the lead manager. And they both laughed, and he thanked me for my compliment as to his intelligence. But
all right, but let's get back to Hugh Grant. And can I just take a break here for a second?
Phil, why are you always taking breaks when I'm in the middle of the best part?
Just hold on. I got to explain to the audience.
Put him on hold.
Frank Gray suffers from gender confusion. So you'll hear him say her when he means him, and you'll hear him say him when he means her.
Yeah, except for gays.
Yeah, except for gay people. If someone's gay, then he'll call them by their right gender.
Yes.
All right. Frank Gray, back with us. We just took a quick commercial break, Frank.
I'm here at your disposal, but I all of these breaks. Margaret was telling me that, and I listened to him because he's my wife. Was telling me that you've got a successful show there, and I forget what I was going
to
say.
All right, let's get to Hugh Grant.
Yeah, all right, Hugh Grant. Here's what happened. The actor, he made a very public confession, and that's when Kirstie Alley was on the show. And
who are you talking about?
I'm talking about Kirstie Alley.
What about Hugh Grant?
No, I'm just saying that Kirstie Alley, when he was on the show, he had made kind of a fun little apology or a confession about something having to do with his trainer, that he was really hot for his trainer. And so Hugh Grant took a cue from that, and she came on and made a public confession by taking to her Twitter account, which was the hilarious handle Hacked Off Hugh. Now, here's the thing. The Englishman who went up a hill but came down a mountain star wrote, "Turns out my inner crab got the better of me with the TV producer in 09. Unforgivable, Jay Stewart, correct to give me kicking. However, it remains to be seen if the funny man will back down on his stand to ban the lair of the white worm favorite, who she compared unfavorably to dictators, from appearing on her show. The incandescent comedy star said lovable Hugh is a big pain in the ass."
Well, what did he do?
I don't know, but apparently she was a pain in the ass to the Daily Show staff, and she's been banned by Jon Stewart. She's not going to let her back on the show.
So Jon Stewart has banned Hugh Grant, but we don't really know what it was, huh?
Well, I heard, can I say, Frank?
Go ahead.
I basically heard that he was very demanding, that this wasn't the dressing room wasn't warm enough, he didn't like his place in the show, this wasn't good enough, that wasn't good enough, the food wasn't good. You know, it really, and what happens is this. Many of these stars work very, very hard. I don't think we realize how hard they work, and I don't think we realize the long hours. You can get low blood sugar and cranky and every bit the, cranky person that everybody else can be, except when you're cranky, it's very, very public.
Well, you know, Margaret, that's a very nice way of putting it, and if I were you, and I know that you've got to go interview her, and I'd say that, but I think she's just, as a man, and I'm just speaking man to man now, she needs to come down off of her high horse, okay? Because she's never going to make a wife happy if she's demanding like that. What's a wife going to say to her? You know, he's going to say, "I'm throwing you out, you know, because I thought I had the man of my dreams, but you're no man at all," and, you know, he'll want her out of his life. Hello?
Yeah, okay.
Let's just get out of there.
All right, Frank. Well, thanks very much.
Is that it?
Yeah, that's it.
All right, young man.
Thank you very much. I can't interview him anymore.
Well, Phil,
I can't. The she and the he and the... Oh, God.
I understood.
I thought that maybe he was coming out of it there at the beginning.
Yeah, I noticed that, too. Did you notice that? He said, well, she said a confession.
Yeah, I thought maybe, oh, wow, he's had a moment of clarity, and it turned out he was talking about Kirstie Alley?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm like Bud. I can follow it, but it still irritates me. Because after a while, I'm trying to remember who he's talking about.
Yeah, it's nuts, you know. She. And by the way, he didn't really have any information there.
I thought he had some inside scoop.
No, he didn't have anything. He didn't say really what went on, other than the fact that, Hugh Grant says that he agrees with Jon Stewart. All right. We'll be right back here at the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL, and we're online at philhenryshow.com. Free download? Yes, we've got a free download and more. We'll tell you about it when we come back. Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. I don't know whether or not this is the kind of news that guns your engine. I'm interested in this news because of the fact that I'm interested in it because I'm getting a little weary of it, too. Apple, the iPhone 5. I have a 4. I don't know what you have. Walmart is now selling the Apple iPhone 5 at a big discount. It began selling Apple's flagship iPhone 5 smartphone at a big discount in thousands of its stores. Walmart said it is selling the 16GB Apple iPhone 5 for $127 versus an original price of $189.97. The price is valid with a 2-year contract from wireless carrier Verizon, Sprint, and AT&T. Walmart said it's also selling the 16GB iPhone 4S and the 16GB iPad with Retina display and Wi-Fi at discounts. The offers are available for 30 days in about 3,000 of Walmart stores, which were not identified. They're not available online, according to the retailer. Apple has focused on high-priced premium gadgets for many years and has strictly enforced its price with retailers and other distributors. However, a Walmart spokeswoman said on Friday that the discounts were arranged with Apple. We work together with them on this, the spokeswoman Sarah Spencer said. They are a great partner, I'll bet. Walmart is pricing the iPad starting at $399 down from $499 beginning December the 17th. The retailer said it will throw in a $30 iTunes card. Walmart is selling the 16GB iPhone 4S for $47 versus an original price of $89.97. Apple did not respond to a request for a comment. Walmart's cooperation with Apple is a contrast to its relationship with Amazon.com, the world's largest internet retailer. In September, Walmart said it would stop selling Amazon's Kindle e-readers and tablets, placing a bet that consumers would be more interested in Apple's gadgets. This spring, Target dropped selling Kindle devices. Well, let me tell you what I think is going on. You don't drop the price on something. You know, I don't think you drop the price on something unless you have a lot of them to sell and they're not selling the way you thought that they would sell. Now, there's a little bit of a backlash against Apple by people who buy Apple products, and the backlash may be coming from guys like me. And when I say guys like me, I don't worship at the temple of Steve Jobs. Not saying that he's not a terrific guy. I didn't come up in that culture. So I'm just more of a regular consumer, and I can take it or leave it, you know. Some people who are Apple fans would consider it to be a blasphemy for me to say, you know what, this phone sucks, and throw it into the street as a cement truck rolls over it.
Then what are you going to get?
Then I'd go and buy another smartphone or something. But here's what I think about my iPhone. I love it. I love it, and I want to keep it for a while, and I don't want to have to keep running out and getting new bloody iPhones because now stuff is not available for my phone that used to be available for it. It's only available on the next priced item of iPhone. And that sort of, you know, pisses me off a little bit. And there's a lot of people like me. You know, make a phone that lasts more than a couple of years. Quit screwing around. Don't you? It's quite obvious what you're doing, and I don't know. There may be, they're educating a whole new generation of consumers. They're educating an entirely new generation of consumers. They're basically educating those consumers into being completely and totally fine with going out and buying a new iPhone every couple of years or every, you know, 18 months. It's totally fine. And if you say to those people, they're younger, they're just, it's a different time. If you say to them, you know, it used to be, now you start to sound like grandpa. And they, I don't even know they're going to hear the rest of what you got to say, but you say, I got on a phone and it did what it was supposed to do for a long time. But I don't think that that's the way it is anymore. And that's okay, you know, but I'm going to do what, you know.
Well, you can't just do what you're going to do, Phil.
Why not?
Because you're going to have to go with the flow. If you like the iPhone, what are you going to do? Are you going to just give up on iPhone?
I guess what I'm saying is I'll hold off, you know.
Yeah, you hold off. That doesn't mean anything. That doesn't mean anything, you holding off.
Yeah, it's still, you're still going to want to have it and everything.
Yeah, I know I'm going to want to have it, but I just don't know that I'm going to want to run out, stand in line like a jackball, because I got to tell you, like I said, you know, those images mean something different to me. Those images of people standing in line for something can oftentimes mean dumbass, you know.
Well, what do you mean dumbass? What if they're standing in line for a great movie?
No, not a great movie. It just depends. For instance, if they're standing in line for the midnight pickup, you know, to buy the iPad or to buy some new gadget, that's a line that says dumbass to me because I just don't get it. And
yeah, but why does that say dumbass to you? Maybe you're standing there staring at them. They say there's a line of dumbass.
That's not going to be a line.
Not in a line, but it's just me.
Yes, yeah, but still, they're saying you're in a line of dumbass.
All right, so I'm standing. Where am I now?
Well, you said you were staring at the people in line.
Yeah, but what are you guys making this about me for?
It's because they're looking at you.
They're looking at you, Phil, and they're saying there is a line of dumbass.
Right, okay, I think I understand what you're saying, except I'm not really in a line.
Yes, you are. You're in a. There's only one, but there's probably going to be more.
Well, I don't see how you can say that, you know.
Well, come on, Mr. Henry. Don't try to win every argument that we're going to have. You know as well as I do that you look like a dumbass to the dumb, you know.
Yeah, I mean, everybody looks like a dumbass to everybody.
Everybody looks like a dumbass. All right, fine, you know. You're right. You're absolutely right. There's no question. You're right.
Well, don't give in so easily.
I'm not giving in easy. Margaret, don't start a fight where we don't have to have one, okay? I agree. If I'm standing there staring at a bunch of people who are waiting in line to get their iPad and I'm thinking, what a bunch of dumbasses, they're looking back across the street at me and going, what's that old man staring at, that dumbass? Doesn't he know what's going on here?
Old man? Boy, you're really falling into that now, aren't you?
No, I just accept the way some people look at you, you know, that's always going to be my thing. And I, as much as I like iPhone and as much as I like what the... I do know this, that this will be something we are now... This is the world now, folks, if you're watching Phil TV. This is it. Whether it's a smartphone, whether it's your iPhone, this is now the world. Your desktop, you're always going to have your desktop, I suppose, but nobody will be without this portable computer communication entertainment platform. That's what it is. It's your phone, your internet connection, your entertainment connection. It is your platform to communicate with the world, to receive information from the world, and this is it. And I mean, it's an amazing transformation that has taken place here in the last, you know, really 30 years is when the very first home computer that I saw, the old Texas Instruments, to this point, 30 years later, where we are literally, and I heard the predictions. They said that we would have computers no bigger than the size of the palm of your hand. Well, just about.
Well, that's bigger.
Yeah, that's bigger. So they got that wrong.
Well, they got it close enough, okay?
Well, yes, but you say the palm of your hand. Now, there's a lot that we've got these days that's about as big as the palm of your hand. And I don't want to...
What were you going to say?
Well, men often brag about their...
Okay, in any event...
Oh, look, he doesn't want to talk about it.
Margaret, there's no point in... So in any event, that is the story with that. And Apple is, they'll be coming out with their 5S. And now, talking about our website, philhenryshow.com, and moving on into the future. Number one, for every backstage pass that we are selling this month, we're giving the backstage pass participant, purchaser, up to 5 free Best of CD download. So if you get a 1 month, you get one free CD best of download, a 1 month subscription. If you get a 6 month backstage pass, you'll get 3 best of CD downloads. And if you get a 1 year, you'll get 5 best of CD downloads from the Phil Henry Show. Coming up within days, those of you who are backstage pass holders, you already know this because we talked about it on the pre-show. Coming up within days is a whole new redesign of our website. It's something we do every couple of years. The last redesign we did on the site was about 2010, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's about, almost 3 years.
So it's due for another look, and that is what we've got for you. We will have an enhanced search engine. We're going to have more informational features. It's going to have a much easier accessible area for our members to log in. We got a lot of bells and whistles. Plus, we're going to have live streaming for not only your Droid phone as well as your desktop, but there will be live streaming of our video cast for your iPhone and your iPad. It's all ahead in just a few days at our website, philhenryshow.com. And the whole reason why I'm talking about iPhone and iPad is because we do have that capability.
I don't understand why it is Apple does it different from...
Everybody else uses Flash Media. Apple does not. They use QuickTime. It's just Apple's thing. They don't like Flash Media. They will not support Flash Media. Forget it. It ain't going to happen. So it's part of doing business with Apple. And if I want to, if I want my website seen on their devices, if I want my audio and my media delivered on their devices, iPhones and iPads, then I damn well need to have my media converted into something that they will use. And that's what we're doing. So we're excited about that. So go to philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com. And of course, daily we have a podcast of the day's show, as well as a 5-day video archive of our video cast. The other thing is that we have a daily podcast that goes out on iTunes. And I'd like you to be checking that out. We have a new sponsor over there. That is our good friends at Audible. So you cats can take a look at that. We'll be right back here. Our number 877-876-PHIL, the world famous Phil Henry Show. We got to get into some other news here. And I am not going to even go down that road. No, I won't do it.
Well, you've got to report it.
I'm not going to talk about the school thing. Google Map. I'm not going to do any more of that stuff. So we've got some news for you. Would you like to hear about syphilis? I didn't think so. We'll be back. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
All right, welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL and philhenryshow.com. Phil Henry here along with Margaret Gray and Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard. Here's an interesting story because we were getting into this a little bit the other night with the legalization of marijuana in Washington. President Barack Obama, in an interview aired on Friday, said what?
Well, we got Jeff Dowder going to call in on it.
Has he called in now?
I think he's on the line then.
Oh, yeah, he's on line three?
Line two.
He's on line two?
No, maybe line three.
Would you guys get it together? What line's he on?
Instead of line three.
Hello? Hello? Who's this? Who? You have the wrong number. Hello?
What are you guys doing?
Hold on.
Hello? Who's this? Who? There's nobody here by that name, man. Hello?
Will you answer the Phil Henry Show so people know where they're calling?
I'm sorry. Phil Henry Show. What? Phil Henry Show. The what?
Give me that phone. Hello? Oh, hi. Yes, sir. I understand entirely. Yes, sir. Thank you very much. What guy's doing, man?
Who was it?
One of the guys that I work with at the website. All right.
You hung up on.
I hung up on who?
On Dowder.
Well, call his dumb ass back, will you? Okay, I don't have time to screw around with this, please.
All right, sorry.
You guys make life more difficult for a man than needs to be made, okay? All right, so President Obama and weed and the entire falderall surrounding marijuana. Now, here's the latest. President Barack Obama, in an interview on Friday, said the federal government will not arrest individual marijuana users in states that have legalized the drug. Will not arrest individual marijuana users in states that have legalized the drug. Obama's comments, excerpts from a longer interview with Barbara Walters that aired Friday on Good Morning America, square with what federal officials said this fall as Colorado and Washington voters considered ultimately successful measures to legalize use and limited possession of marijuana. Obama left unanswered, though, the larger question of whether the Justice Department will move to block portions of the laws in both states that allow for marijuana to be sold in specially regulated stores. That question looms over the laws as legislators in both states begin to craft regulatory structures for a recreational marijuana industry. Walters asked Obama during the interview whether he supports marijuana legislation. I wouldn't go that far, but I think what I think is that at this point in Washington, Colorado, you've seen the voters speak on this issue, and it is the federal government has a lot to do when it comes to criminal prosecutions. It does not make sense from a prioritization point of view for us to focus on recreational drug users in a state that's already said that under state law, it's legal.
Well, now, what about federalism? What about federalism?
The president's saying that federalism in this instance is ultimately not going to stand. In other words, it's not like, and we talked about this before, you know.
Well, Phil, I know, but I'm very confused by it. On the one hand, the federal government goes in and tells people who gets to sit at a drinking fountain or whatever.
You're talking about civil rights?
Well, yes, but that was the same.
You know, it's not the same. I'll tell you why it's not the same. In the sense of human rights, in the sense of equal treatment and equal protection under the law, the federal government did act and did override the state laws and used as its reasoning constitutionality, and it was even tested in front of the Supreme Court. When it comes to the possession or non-possession of marijuana, the federal government is taking this position that the constitutionality of the federal government, coming in and telling the states what to do with marijuana laws is not going to stand. It's not going to stand. It is not a right that the federal government should assume over the will of the people in any individual state. It's marijuana use. It has nothing to do with the relative rights of individuals. It has nothing to do with the relative this or that of individuals. So, you know.
I don't understand.
Well, you're just going to have to just go with me on this thing. So anyway, in further comments reported on ABC News' website, Obama said the new laws should prompt a larger discussion in Washington, D.C. about marijuana's legal status. This is a tough problem because Congress has not yet changed the law. I head up the executive branch. We're supposed to be carrying out laws, enforcing laws. And so what we're going to need is a conversation about how do you reconcile a federal law that still says marijuana is a federal offense and state law that says it's legal. Marijuana activists responded with caution to the president's comments. Now, did they get any comments from people who are in favor of maintaining the federal prohibition? No, they didn't. But this is obviously where the Supreme Court comes in. You have to test these things from a federal point of view. Let's get Jeff Dowder back on the phone here. We talked with him last week about this. Actually, talked to him early in the week. Jeff, how you doing?
Good, Mr. Henry, and you were talking about the just at that point, I was going to make a comment if you don't want to or if you don't want me to.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
Yeah, I heard what you said, and I think you're right. I think that the argument that those of us who are in favor of, legalizing a portion, if you want to call it that, of marijuana. We believe that you can't say no to drugs. And
wait, what do you mean legalize a portion?
What I mean is legalizing a so you can smoke it, and you can smoke it, but not be a store owner of it. You know what I mean? In other words, you'd be able to smoke it,
but not have a shop and not sell it. And
yeah, exactly. And the way to get around that probably would be to allow people to grow their own. I would say to grow their own marijuana, but I'm not familiar with it. Right.
Well, I mean, one of the things that I think that the president was saying was that all of these, and I'm hearing some noise in the background.
What?
I heard a little bit of noise. The president was saying that he does not want to bring in the federal government to enforce laws on something.
I'm sorry.
Okay, are you smoking weed right now?
No, I'm not.
Well, I'm hearing a bong.
Yeah, that's a bong I have. I mean, I smoke tobacco. Yeah, I'm not. I would not do that being on the show.
All right, anyway, so the president did say that he would send in, and I don't know what he meant by send in, but he would send in a number of federal enforcement agents if it got to the point where, okay, if it got to the point...
You know, Mr. Henry, if I was hitting a bong and there was the herb in it, I wouldn't be making such... So what, you know?
Okay. All right, you're right. So the president said that as they are doing this, the president said,
yeah.
I guess you're more interested in smoking the weed, right?
I'm not, as I said, I am not right now. Hold on. I'm not right now.
We'll be right back, Phil Hendry Show.
Right.
Phil Hendry.
Dude, you got a suck on that.